Good morning. If you have a bookmark in your Bible, if you would, go ahead and place that at the 93rd Psalm, Psalm 93. If you'll do that, we will be at the place where we're going to begin actually spending the most of our time this morning. It's good to see you today. We have begun the month of February with the intent in mind of having a greater appreciation of our King. And we've talked about this verse a little bit, going to do so again as we go through the morning today. How you come to appreciate something is actually a concept that we're pretty familiar with. I don't know that we often necessarily intentionally think it through, but we render appreciation for things all the time. In case you were unaware, there was a football game last Sunday night. Got home in order to make the last part of that game. And it was a fascinating game. And all week, all I've heard is how wonderful Tom Brady is and what a brilliant coach Bill Parcells is and how terribly the Atlanta Falcons choked away their Super Bowl victory. And you know, if you stop and think about that for a moment, as people are gathered around the water fountain at work or wherever you sit and talk about such things, the idea of, man, did you see that catch? Man, did you see that play? Can you believe they came back like that? What kind of pep talk did they get at halftime? And people go on and on and on. And you recognize what that is, right? That's acknowledgement. That is offering accolades to those that we deem deserving of accolades. And we do it with regards to athletes. We do it with regards to entertainers. I was having a discussion with someone in this audience this week, and we were talking about the kind of music that we like. I won't go into details. But as we talked about this person and that person, it was, oh, you like this guy? Oh, you like, oh, I love their music. Oh, well, they have great words for their music. Oh, this, oh, that. We do it all the time. We just don't often stop and think, okay, this is what the idea of praise is really about. There is a definition in the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. I'm sure you've got a copy of that on your bookshelf at home. There's a definition of the word praise that I found quite interesting. It's not overly complicated, but it is very meaningful. Praise is the sincere acknowledgement of a real conviction of worth. In other words, when you find someone or something of value, real value to you, value that goes beyond just a simple day-to-day recognition, things that are important to you, when you publicly acknowledge that, when you state your appreciation of what truly is a conviction for you, such as the essence of praise. Listen to these words. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works. Men will speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. It has been the custom, I think, probably among a lot of churches of Christ, that we are reluctant, probably, in regards to the idea of praise as much as we should be. The high school college class, we meet at our house, try to meet every week. It's a bit of a challenge, but we have for the last several months been reading through the Psalms for a couple of reasons. One, because It's a section of Scripture that I have come to enjoy and appreciate, but mainly because young people very often shy away from a lot of the Bible, to be honest with you. But I think especially from parts that are less clear-cut. We like everything nice and neat and packaged up where it's easy to understand and we can go teach it. And yet, the Psalms are kind of fuzzy. They are that way because they are expressions of emotion. They are poetry. And as you come to a greater appreciation of them, and I think some of that just comes from life experience, what you come to understand is that many of the Psalms express the things that we really do feel, or maybe that we haven't reflected on enough. One of the things I'm coming to appreciate is that the more you read the Psalms, the more they turn your mind to reflect upon things. In fact, I was just reading from the 145th Psalm, and I want you to notice that David says in this particular Psalm in verse 5, "I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works." And what I have found is the more I read this poetry, even though I'm not a real poetry kind of person, the more it does cause me to stop and think about things. There was an astronomical anomaly. You like that? On Friday night, there was a snow moon, a partial eclipse of the moon, and a comet that came close enough to be seen by binoculars, all in the same night. I didn't get up at 2 in the morning to watch all of that, but I was out the night before when it was clear, and I sat down out on the back porch after feeding the dog, turned off the porch lights so I could see the stars, and I must tell you, it is an inspiring sight. And because we don't do things like that as much, our mind is not given to as much reflection. Because our mind is not given to as much reflection, perhaps we are somewhat lacking when it comes to true acknowledgement of the real conviction of the worth of God. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the concept of praise. And I'm going to do this differently. I'm going to make two observations, and then we're going to read a number of psalms. If you've already turned there, Psalm 93 is the beginning of, I think, a grouping of psalms, and I want you to recognize this at this point. You'll notice Psalm 93 begins with the statement, "The Lord reigns." And since we are efforting to acknowledge our King as King, I thought this was maybe an appropriate place to start. And many people who study the Psalms in some detail would argue that this is the beginning of a group of Psalms, that whoever collected them and put these Psalms together on purpose. If you go from Psalm 93 and then you go to Psalm 99, you'll notice that Psalm 99 begins with this statement again, "The Lord reigns." And you'll also notice that Psalm 97 begins with the same statement, "The Lord reigns." And these psalms have in common an ongoing theme. And in almost every one of them, they talk about at some point God sitting on His throne or God exercising the reign of King and the kinds of things that should cause us to think about. So in just a minute, I'm going to read through these psalms. I'm going to read one. I'm going to make one observation. I'm going to move along. What I want to do, and here's the intent, it is to give you something to contemplate. This is one of those sermons that you're probably not going to walk off thinking, okay, I got that point and I got that point and that helped me. What I want you to do with this sermon is I want you to listen to these and read through them and take note of them, and then I want you to go back and reflect on them with this intent in mind, that I learn to acknowledge a real conviction about the worth of God. So here are the two observations before we do that. Number one, God is worth acknowledging. It is the greatness of God that should impress us and inspire us. So our memory verse from the 110th Psalm is absolutely full of the concept that God has done something that is great and worth appreciating. And it seems to me that for Christians who are so accustomed to the idea that Jesus was God, that Jesus did all kinds of miracles, that Jesus died for us, that Jesus rose from the dead, that Jesus offers these promises, these things are commonplace to us. So much so that I think we become accustomed to them and fail to appreciate sometimes just how powerful they are, just how significant, how unusual they are. Jack read today from the table from 1 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. It's not a passage that we often associate with the Lord's Supper, but it is exactly the thought that we are trying to commemorate at the Lord's Supper. And it occurred to me when he did it. You know, that's not the passage we usually read. Wait a minute. You know, we'll raise our hand. Hang on a second, Jack. It's Isaiah 53, okay? Or 1 Corinthians chapter 11, or you got to go to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, or John and read one of the crucifixion passages. Man, you can't go off script here. Why is it that those things catch our attention? I think they catch our attention because we become so accustomed to certain thoughts that we don't give ourselves to them. Yahweh, God, the Father, said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord will send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. What one person in history, all of history, can say, God set me up at His right hand and I dominate everything? But how often do we think of it that way? How often do we really stop and acknowledge just who God is and what He does on a daily basis, what He can do, what He has done? The Bible story where God took promises that He gave to one man thousands of years ago and spent literally 2,000 years fulfilling those promises for us. I'm going to tell you, and I've mentioned this before, I really do get why some people don't believe Christianity. I get it. Because there's so much about it that's just almost inconceivable. I mean, you expect me to believe that all these things happen? Yeah, that's what I expect you to believe. I think the evidence sustains the conclusion. But if you don't study the evidence and you don't think about it and you don't see God for who He is, it's almost incredible in the literal sense of the word, unbelievable. And I'll talk about this a little bit tonight. Of course, the alternative is that we believe that everything came from nothing, which is even more unbelievable. These kinds of thoughts and reflections ought to cause us to give real honor to God. Not lip service, not showing up on Sunday and singing through the songs and giving them no thought. I'm talking about the honor that goes about in our day-to-day living, where our mind, as we're going through the mundane repetitions of the day, drifts back to, man, can you believe this about God? One of the interesting things about these Psalms, in all Psalms, but we'll see this especially in one or two of the Psalms we're about to read, is that very often the Psalms call nature to praise God. The trees are clapping. The skies are singing. The waves are praising. And I must tell you, very often we look at that as kind of poetic license, where you take what is an inanimate object and you attribute animate qualities to it. Personification is the technical term. How surprised are we going to be when we get to heaven and recognize that God's greatness is such that the trees really do praise Him, that the stars really do proclaim His name, that the mountains really do shrink away at His presence, and that this is not just hyperbole or exaggeration for effect, but there is a sense in which the greatness of God is so overwhelming that even what we think of as a creation that cannot praise Him, in another realm does indeed praise Him. Now, I don't know if at this point you're thinking, wow, this is kind of weird. Because it demands a lot of introspection and reflection and consideration. And I must tell you, I've told the kids this as we've gone through these kinds of studies at the house. That this is the challenge to me of the Psalms, is that you can't just sit there and run through one and explain it and then go your way. The Psalms have to be reflected upon. And yet, folks, when you do, what I'm saying right now makes perfect sense. In fact, I would even go so far as to say, the more you reflect upon the greatness of God, a failure to appreciate Him, a negligence to acknowledge Him, is defiance. It's rebellion. Paul says as much in Romans chapter 1 when he says that the world that God created, mankind, even though that they could look at the created world and draw certain conclusions about God, His divinity and His power, says that they intentionally disregarded Him. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You come to an appreciation of God and yet you determine that you will not recognize and acknowledge Him. It's rebellion. And that's grave. That's observation number one. Here's observation number two. When we come to an appreciation of God, we realize just who we are. I know some really smart folks, some very successful folks, some really talented and intelligent folks. There's quite a few here that are that way. And with all due respect to all that you have going for you in your life, you are nothing. Nothing. And when you think that you are something, cut yourself off from everything around you and see how long you survive. We are dependent upon this being. We are undeserving of all that this being has done and continues to do and promises to do. We are powerless without this being. We cannot keep ourselves alive without the provisions that He has made in the natural world. We can't do it. We are blessed beyond measure by this being. We have been delivered from a life of hopelessness and uncertainty and misery by this being. Amen. We stand guilty before this being, every last one of us. And yet we don't have to be, because this being has gone out of His way and made great sacrifices so that I can stand before Him innocent. We have been exalted to family status, and we will be delivered eternally. And I'm going to tell you, folks, the more we reflect upon these things, the natural expression of the conviction that all of this ought to produce in us is praise to our God. So I want to challenge you, as I read through these Psalms, to use this as a springboard for your consideration. If I'm really going to acknowledge and appreciate my King, and I'm going to recognize that the King that I serve, that we've talked about and that we will continue to talk about as we go not only through the month but through the year, and the King that I'm fighting for and that I'm fighting alongside of, that King has sacrificed for me, that King is God on His throne, that King is eternal and will eternally bless me, the more I consider that, the more I reflect upon that, and the more I am convicted of that, the more natural praise should be. However it's expressed, whether it's in our prayers, whether it's in our singing, whether it's in our day-to-day conversation as we talk to others, God reigns. Blessed be God. So, give some consideration to what the psalmists have said. Psalm 93. Let me offer this one note of, not really explanation, but I think it helps to make sense. When you read Lord in these psalms, and it's all caps in your Bible, most of you are aware of this, that's the name of God. It's the English translation is Jehovah. The Hebrew, as best we can tell, was something like Yahweh. And as the Old Testament writers are giving consideration to God, their view is of God the Father who is sitting on the throne. And it should be our view as well. But one thing that we're trying to emphasize as we go through this year is that God has placed Jesus up on that throne. That Jesus of Nazareth reigns at the right hand of God and exercises all of God's authority in the heavens and on the earth until the redemption of mankind is completed, till the world is destroyed, the new heavens and the new earth come, and we have been redeemed, resurrected, and glorified to live forever. 1 Corinthians 15 says at that point, Jesus is going to give all reign back over to the Father. The reason I mention this is when you read Yahweh, the Lord, it is appropriate for us to see and understand Jesus because He is in the position now exercising God's authority. So take note of that. Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. He's clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed, has girded Himself with strength. Surely the world is established so it cannot be moved or shaken. Your throne is established from old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of the waters and the mighty waves of the sea. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. Here's my observation about that psalm. The picture is, stand by the seashore. When the waves are so high that you can't imagine that the ocean could get that tall. And listen to the deafening roar and appreciate the power. You wouldn't walk out there. Anything it came in contact with, the waves would utterly destroy. And then recognize what the psalmist is saying. Those waves are acknowledging their praise to God, and God is greater in power than anything like that that you might ever consider. And that power is most acutely manifest in His Word. Blessed be God. Psalm 94. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. Rise up, O Judge of the earth. Render punishment to the proud. Lord, how long will the wicked triumph? They utter speech and speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. They break in pieces your people, O Lord, afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. You understand, senseless among the people, and you fools. When will you be wise? Who planted the ear? Shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs the nations, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. The Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. Judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against all the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. If I say, my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. But the Lord has been my defense and my God, the rock of my refuge. He has brought on them their own iniquity and shall cut off them in their own wickednesses. The Lord our God shall cut them off. Here's my observation about this psalm. We serve a God King who watches out for us, who defends us, who knows what is happening, even though people out in the world who do not acknowledge God refuse to believe that there is a God and that He has any idea what's going on. If He does exist, our God does know. He knows what's happening in your life. He knows what's happening in my life. He knows what's happening in this nation. He knows what's happening in every nation. And our faith and hope in Him is not without power. Praise be God. Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth, and the heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they will not enter in to my rest. My observation. Have you ever literally got down on your knees and bowed your face to the ground as you thought about God? I would dare say most of us have not. Maybe it's something we need to try. In the fourth chapter of Revelation, in the throne scene of heaven, all the redeemed and all the angels bow down before the throne of God. It is impossible to acknowledge who I am until I appreciate who He is. And when I do, bowing down to worship Him will be the most natural thing in the world. Praise be to our God. Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be shaken. He will judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that's in it. Let all the trees of the woods rejoice before the Lord, for He is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. And He shall judge the world with righteousness, the peoples with His truth. Don't hesitate to tell people what you think about God, folks. don't hesitate to say, you see those mountains over there that just take your breath away? God made those. You see that majestic ocean out there with all of its color and all of its beauty and all of its power? God made that. You see the stars of the sky. You see the weather as it develops. You see the world around us, the beauty of the springtime, the beauty of the snow. Not that we get to see that here. God did all of that. Why is it that we'll talk politics and praise the people that we think have great ideas, and we'll talk sports and praise the people that we think are talented, and we'll talk medicine and extol the wonders of what mankind can do, but we will not say to people around us, I serve a God and He is great. Blessed be our God. Psalm 97. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitudes of the coastlands be glad. Clouds and darkness surround Him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. A fire goes before Him and burns up His enemies round about. His lightnings light the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare His righteousness, and all the people see His glory. Let all be put to shame who serve carved images, who boast of idols. Worship Him, all you gods. Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. You who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of His saints. He delivers them out of the wicked, out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. If we think about Him and our heart is given to the true estimation of His worth, we should never have to have someone stand up in a pulpit or at the front of a Bible class and say, look, folks, we can't be practicing ungodliness. You can't truly love the Lord and hate evil. You can't truly hate evil without loving the Lord. Excuse me. Maybe our problem, if we struggle, is that we just don't appreciate Him like we should. Blessed be our God. Psalm 98. Well, sing to the Lord a new song. He's done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have gained Him the victory. The Lord has made known His salvation, His righteousness He has revealed in the sight of the nations. He's remembered His mercy and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice, sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar in all its fullness, the world and all those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands and the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for He's coming to judge the earth. With righteousness He will judge the world and the peoples with equity. See the emphasis in this one? He's coming. He's going to stand up for righteousness and equity. And we all stand before Him guilty. Were it not for the fact that He's made known His salvation. That He offers His mercy to the faithful. Not one person in here, folks, deserves to go to heaven when we die. Because our King is righteous. And justice sits under His throne. But He saved us anyway. Praise be to our God. Amen. Psalm 99. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He dwells between the cherubim. Let the earth be shaken. The Lord is great in Zion and is high above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. It is holy. The king's strength also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord and he answered them. He spoke to them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance he gave them. You answered them, O Lord our God, you who were to them God who forgives. Though you took vengeance on their deeds, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. He hears us, folks. He listens to us. Emily came in the other night. I was watching the Andy Griffith Show. And Emily's rambling on about who knows what. Something insignificant, I'm sure. And Barney was trying to make a point. And the louder Emily got, the more I turned up the volume. No, sir. Because she said, Dad, are you not listening to me? The king listens to me. This is stuff we need to work on, folks. It'll make our worship better. It'll make our lives better. We'll make it where we are unashamed to say, that's the king I serve. That's the God that has my devotion. And I will not hesitate to tell people about him and what I believe. And so let's conclude with where we started this morning. The 100th Psalm, which was our scripture reading. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are the people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Blessed be our God. If you need to secure your relationship with the King, you need to have your sins forgiven and take advantage of his mercy in the face of judgment. You need to stand up and confess your faith in him, that Jesus Christ reigns upon the throne of the Lord of glory, having created everything, saving those who would come before him, and coming to exercise judgment. You need to make that confession and change your life and offer true praise to God. We invite your response this morning while we stand and sing.